quit at a park.
Welcome to another journey in trying to find out where did I park. I'm your host, Chris, better known as CP, and I'm here to park some of my thoughts and feelings so I can clear my head and get my life together. So here goes nothing. First things first, what up? But after that, happy birthday to my grandmother. 97. Can't even believe it. Got a chance to talk with her on FaceTime because that's how she gets down. She was mentioning how she had been recently texting the boys. So she was excited to see him and hear from him today. That's crazy. You know, technology is hard enough for midlife crisis having adults and some people earlier in their lives. And here's my grandma answering messages on Facebook and texting and FaceTime. And so that makes everything really cool and really special. And really, you just can't imagine it. I think everybody at some point before life starts life and wants to live to be 100 or more or whatever. And, you know, that'd be great. But also, it might not be. It might not be because life will be totally different. Who knows what it'll lead? Who knows what'll still be around? You know, she's had to bury her husband. And she's had to bury her 3 out of 5 of her kids and see him get sick before that. And that could be a lot to deal with. She's had to bury some in-laws as well. And friends and family and people you grew up with and semblances of your life. And you know, it might not be all good to live that long. Bible gives us, 3 score and 10? That's 70 for the math majors. But, and, you know, every day is a gift. And I think at some point, you know, after life's and sickness happens and health is crazy and the world is doing what the world does, you see why some people want to go home earlier or they, you know, they've lived their life and they have their call and they get ready to answer it. You know, I of course like to live as long as I can and don't want to imagine having to go through some of the heartaches and pains that she's gone through. But having that much time here and being a major influence and a matriarch above matriarchs for your family is amazing. And I mean, I'm blessed to have her still here and to be able to talk to her and just get encouragement. She doesn't need to know everything that's happening in your life, good, bad, or indifferent. She just needs to know that you're good. And she wants you to know that she's praying for you. And, you know, she's going to give you that message and make sure that you are going to church and everything else. But it's just amazing to just be able to still have her as a part of our lives. And it's exciting and it's special. So happy birthday, and definitely look forward to hearing from you and seeing you and talking to you soon. Other than that, what y'all been up to? I think on my side, just been trying to raise these kids. They crazy. Summer vacation is doing what it does, and kids are everywhere and all over the place. And, you know, it's the gift and the curse of having, you know, really smart kids, because they question everything and they always got something to say, and you know exactly where they get it from, but they're working your nerves a little bit. But it makes you wonder, are you doing everything you can? Are you doing everything right? And I think so. And you know, if you have these dreams and visions of goals of being the wise old sage or being the grandparent or great grandparent that you want, you know, your kids to call up and everything like that, then you instill in them everything you think you can and everything you want them to be. And that's like your driving and your motivating force. you know, do the best that you can so you can set them up for continued success. And I know that a buzzword and a feeling is creating generational wealth. And everybody's striving to do it in some way, shape, or form. And everybody's trying to create this pipeline and get back what we never had, or get back what was taken from us, and take our own power and, you know, really go get it on our own. And I think it extends beyond financial. I think it there's room to create not necessarily a strong, strict set of beliefs or values, but just a way of life that is worth emulating, and a life that you can lead by example. And I think that's powerful. And I think that if you just go after one thing, whether that's the financial wealth or the on the other side, just the examples of the leadership, then you miss something. So it's got to be a good balance of everything. And you start to see how well you're doing in real time. You kind of have like a progress report based on, you know, how you see your kids do, how you see them interact, how they handle the good things, how they handle the bad things, what kind of questions they ask. Although those questions can be annoying and can be frustrating, and sometimes you just need them to do what they're told, and you want them to do as you say, not as you mean. It's important to kind of gauge what they talk about and how they talk to you, how they treat others, how they treat friends and family, how they treat siblings if available or if applicable, either way. And I think it's a good litmus test. It can be kind of scary, though, because it always seems like they pick up your worst qualities. And you kind of, those are the ones that stand out, because you know that you do them, or your partner does them. And so it's easy to point it out when it happens, or when it shows up, not from you. So you can see how it looks and how other people see it. But it makes it that much more difficult to focus on some of the good qualities that they have. And it doesn't always show up as athletic talent or grades. It shows up in drive and determination and fearlessness and fearfulness and good heart and making good decisions and being compassionate. And there are many things that make them special. There's many things that they get that you probably don't give yourself enough credit for. Message. And you can see it within them. And it's an exciting journey to see them grow. It's always scary, of course, because you want the best for them, and you want to hold their hand at one point, and then at the same time, let them do it on their own. And, you know, you want to be involved, and also you want to be in the background. And all these things happen, and it just gives you these whirlwinds of emotions. And as they continue to grow, you continue to grow with them. And it really becomes a special thing if you're lucky, and an opportunity to have a special bond. And it's cool to see people that roll in similar circles have the same type of feelings with their kids and their families. And it creates just this group of, not even united, but just a group of people with common interests and common goals of doing things right and being a little better than the people before them were. And not that those people were bad. They just want to take that baton and keep running and pass it on and build it up for the future. I think out of all the messages and all the things that I've seen out of my oldest, I think one of the ones that stuck with me the most, and it's crazy I remember this, but when he was 2 or so, I remember me and my wife going to get some lunch, and we brought him so we could do one of those baby show arounds. Hey, this is the kid. You know, of course, you've seen him from the pictures, and let all the work people who hopefully had washed their hands or sanitized at some point, you know, high five them and do all the little things. And, oh, this your dad and blah, blah, blah. And I remember this guy I really didn't like. I didn't like him a lot. Still don't. He ain't lying. I remember him coming up and he's like, hey, you know, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, you look smart. You look like you're going to be a smart guy. He's like, don't become an engineer, though.
Who told you that?
It's like, and it always stuck with me because I got what he was saying and doing. He's just making lighthearted jokes. and all that stuff, which is fine. But also, I got what he was saying. I think we've all had people that wanted to follow our footsteps. I remember telling a lady from church I was interested in a specific discipline, and she was like, do not do that. You will regret it. And she was probably right, but I probably should have taken a little more time to think it through myself and understand that it wasn't right for me versus just taking her word for it. And I think she meant well. I think she meant more so for my background than she did for just expressing her feelings or projecting outward. But it happens. And so getting back to the point, my son basically said, I don't think I want to work a desk job or a job where I'm stuck in an office all day. Yes! And I can't even remember why we were talking about it. I don't think we were talking about anything in crazy detail or about my job or his mom, my wife's job. I think we were just talking about life. And he was like, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. And that's so much. It's a small statement, and it's a one-liner, but it's so profound, and it's so much deeper than like anything I was thinking about. I just remember growing up, and everything was like doctor, lawyer, police, fire, famous athlete, famous movie star, and that was it. And you know, everybody says it, and if you're not careful, you just kind of go along with it till it's time to actually like think about something that you want to do with your life. And it wasn't that I was really stuck on being any of those things, but I don't know if I gave it enough thought. I mean, the only thing that you give enough thought is like your professional dreams, because once you get cut from a team or two, you're like, hey, this might not be. I don't know if I'm going pro. I don't play defense. I'm pretty slow. My worst pitch is my fastball. You know, I can't barely skate. Ice skate anyway. And then I was a tackling dummy on the football field. So I don't know. Those four sports are pretty much out. I don't think I'm going pro. Of course, I ended up with a cool sport. Well, you know those stories. So I don't know at what point you start to, you know, create your own vision and dreams, or you just look around. I think the gift and the curse of growing up in a cool place like the auto industry is like everybody's an engineer. So you see smart people around. You see people that get really good, well-paying jobs. And, you know, auto industry is life until it's not. Message. And I don't know if I was smart enough to think deeper than what my immediate surroundings were. I think eventually I got there, and I learned many more things that you can do in that discipline, but I still dabbled in it. And to hear my son not look at his dad and be like, I'm going to be like my dad, or I'm going to be like this person that I saw, and just to make a statement of, I don't know everything that I want, but I know that sitting around or a desk life or a cube or, you know, laptops and meetings and everything like that isn't my favorite thing in the world to do, and I don't think I want to go that way. I think that's profound. I think I've always thought about, you know, what if I didn't go the nerd route, or what if I explored my more artistic talents rather than like the technical ones? How would life have looked? How would college have looked? How would my first few years professionally looked? Would I have been able to merge the two? Would I have been able to come forward? What would my passion projects be? Would it be a reverse type of thing? Does the business degree help merge between them? I think they're all questions that can kind of be unanswerable, but worth thinking about. And I think it's cool to just watch him grow and come into his own thinking about things like that. And like, I can honestly say, you know, I wasn't always thinking about that. I guess in a therapy sense, I probably hindered myself in some aspects, not thinking in broader or deeper terms. Found what I was good at, found what I'd like, had people I could emulate, and I just went after it. And I think that was probably short-sighted of me. I wish I would have gotten a better wake-up call in one sooner, not even to pick something else, but just to make sure like what I'm doing is for me and why I'm loving it is of my own accord and not just because, you know, it's kind of status quo and it kind of fits in line. It ain't gonna hurt. And so hopefully I'm doing a good job and we are doing a good job of raising them to think for themselves and be their own people, of course, with a foundation and with stability and the ability to, you know, come back if they mess up and not feel like it's over. So I'm pretty excited about that part. The other thing, like, they're just living. I think another cool thing is we've allowed them to be able to talk to us about anything. And it's, I don't know if fun is the right word, probably interesting to see, you know, how they pick and choose who they're going to talk to about what. And it's not always like, well, this is my dad, so we got to father-son this thing up. And it's not always, you know, this is my mom, so we got to mother-son this thing up. It's like me and my wife, you know, come together and we talk about things. And it's like, why is he always talking to me about this? And I'm like, well, why is he always talking to me about that? I figured he'd be talking to you. And she's like, well, I figured he'd be talking to you. And it's interesting. So we, you know, as a team unit and all that stuff, we get different pieces from all three of the boys and we kind of try to merge them together and make sure that we're providing one solid message. And it's interesting to see how they're going. I think the most interesting thing, and while I'm sad for the situation, I'm super proud of his emotional maturity. He was dealing with a friend who had some serious issues, and he was able to verbalize them and his discomfort with trying to help and feeling a little bit overwhelmed, like he was overburdened and asking for help. And I thought that was powerful. I mean, I remember times when I thought I knew it all, times when I knew nothing and I didn't make the best choices, and I probably wasn't the most supportive person. I don't think I was bad, or I think I knew what I knew and I tried to go with what I knew. And if that didn't fit that, then I was trying to run away. And I think he was just, he's miles smarter than any piece of me was at that age. And he was able to convey his message, find a safe space in talking to us, and figuring out a way to get help for his friend and give help and be supportive, but also kind of release that emotional baggage that it carried on him. And I'm like after, you know, we got everything sorted out and we had a chance to talk with him and we kind of established our level and our new level of where we were at and where he goes from here and what his friendship looks like, and just checking back in with him on how's it going and how's he feeling and, you know, is he comfortable? I'm like, damn, this kid is living. And it's the world. It's the sign of the times. It's, you know, he's a man amongst boys in some aspects. And of course, we want to keep him as young of a man as we can. But like, it makes you feel good as book smart as he is, and sometimes book smart only as he is. He's learning a lot. I don't know how much credit we take for that, or how much the world takes credit for it, or just the fact that we're all in it together. So credit doesn't matter as long as we're in good space. So it's just amazing to see, and it's a proud thing. And you know, if he continues on this track, there's no doubt tying it all together that, you know, one day when it's my turn to be the wise old man that people come and call and wish happy birthday to, or whatever technology is doing at that point, I and he and we will have created a pipeline of really good people that can help celebrate and amplify and magnify some of the great things that are out there and the great people that are out there, and, you know, really, you know, bring some energy and value to the pride that we have. So I say all of that to say, man, life is exciting. Even when you don't have all the answers or think you're doing a bad job or think you're in a stressful place or a stressful spot and don't have it all figured out the way you want it to, life is still exciting and it's still worth living and it's still worth doing the best you can.
Message.
You know, you can help support and salute and be proud of somebody in your scope. You know, don't hesitate to do it. Might not feel as great as you want it. You might not feel as great as, you know, they think you are, but you're still able to help. And I think that there's power in that. So don't be afraid to use that. All right, let's get to some uplift.
Grandfather walked 10 miles to work every day. My father walked 5. I'm driving a Cadillac. My son is in a Mercedes. He said my grandson will be in a Ferrari. He said my great-grandson will be walking again. So I asked him, I said, well, why is that? And he said to me, tough times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create tough times. He said to me, many will not understand, but you have to raise warriors.
You know, I've thought about that clip or speech for the longest time. I go back to it a lot, especially probably since I've become a father. I think I've thought about each piece of it, and it seems like there's a piece for me in every season of my life, in every aspect of it. And I see myself in every version of that. I see myself as the grandfather. I see myself as the father. I see myself as the son. I see myself as the grandson and also the great-grandson. And it just depends on what's happening in my life. I've looked at my family tree, if not physically, at least like mentally, and trying to figure out, like, you know, what did they do? How did they pass it down? You know, what did my dad do? What did he pass down? What am I doing? What am I passing down? And depending on the aspect that I'm looking at, whether it's a spiritual thing or whether it's a financial thing or whether it's a relationship thing or whether it's a professional thing, I just see myself in different versions of that. And I would love it if it were just one thing or one version or one feeling or emotion and I knew exactly where I was. And I think at parts I'm like, okay, I'm in good shape, I'm doing all right. And then it's other parts where I'm like, I am failing, I am the grandson walking. And I think up until recently, I've been frustrated with trying to figure out what station I'm in and what station I'm supposed to be in, or am I supposed to be continuing a legacy or breaking a curse, and what am I setting up, you know, my son to be able to do, or my sons to be able to do rather. And what I've recently come to realize is that every part of that has a role. Every piece of that legacy has a position, and regardless of how well you do, there's still an obligation to create a foundation for that next part. It can be frustrating because you might have wanted to, you know, be the part driving the car, but you might be the part walking. And so it's your job to set the next person up to, you know, get to that level. You might have not felt as good about upholding, you know, what was given down to you, but you still have a responsibility to create a path and an avenue for the next person. And it doesn't have to be straight down your genealogy or your family tree or your line. It could be through friendship, through mentorship, through professional responsibility, through giving to a community, through many different aspects. But I think that no matter what part of that you're in, what version of that you are, I think the message remains the same, that you have to raise a warrior. And warriors look different because each warrior is tested in a different way and each warrior faces a different battle. They're not all going to be hand-to-hand combat. They're not all going to be in challenging times. And so each person will be shaped differently. But if you focus on the foundation, it doesn't matter so much about what step you're in, whether you're in the luxury part of it or you're in the legacy building part of it. No matter what, you still own the title and you still own the responsibility of moving forward. So as long as you remember that part, you may be more well-equipped than you're actually giving yourself credit for. And of course, I'm talking to myself, but hopefully I might be finding myself talking to you about it as well. Life comes at you fast. I'm just trying to keep up with yesterday. I'll be back soon to unload some more of the good, bad, and ugly. And I hope you'll join me again. So once I get done hearing about the next step in a beautiful legacy passed down from generation to generation, birthday to birthday, I'm definitely going to need some help trying to remember, where did I park?